In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. My name is Steve Rudisill, and I am glad to be here with you today. It looked like we were getting some signs here with the lights blowing out and stuff like that. My microphone cut off. We'll see what that means, okay? I have a question for you. Have you been watching the Olympics? I hear some yeses, and I have too. And I have to tell you, the parade of the athletes the other night, athletes from over 200 countries coming into the arena with their native kind of dress on, something that represented where they came from, all smiles, looking around and wonder, some even moved to tears at the enormity of what was happening. I could not help but think how wonderful it would be if the whole world would be like those assembled people, joyful to be together, looking forward to competing with one another, the enjoyment of the sport and being able to show it to others and share it with them. I couldn't help but think, what if the world were like this? It would certainly be a very much better place. As we watch those athletes, I want to point out something to you about their sportswear. Now, I'm speaking to you kind of like an expert, all right? Because I have been married for 54 years to a woman who is a seamstress and makes quilts and banners and all kinds of things. I come to you as somewhat of an expert because I have been, I think, in every fabric store from Maine to Florida, out west and Europe, okay? I know fabrics pretty well. And what Gail tells me is that the sportswear that they have for all the different sports, all of that is designed to accommodate them in the endeavor that they are about. These fabrics are the very best. Those who cut them and assemble them are the very best. These are the best athletes in their field. And what they wear supports them in what they are about. They are dressed for action. Be dressed for action, says Jesus in the gospel lesson today. What Jesus says to his little flock, be dressed for action. And I suppose those words travel across the centuries and apply to you and me and the church at large, which is hearing those words today. Be dressed for action. Now, to get a take on this, I want to take a brief look backward to the practice of baptism in the early church. Then it was only adult baptisms. The time actually preceding the baptisms themselves was an extended period of time in which the candidates were being prepared for their baptism, being prepared by seasoned members of the Christian community who taught them and gave examples out of their own personal lives of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. All of this would lead to the event of the baptism, and this would take place at sunrise on Easter Day. The candidates and their sponsors would gather at a nearby body of water. They didn't have fonts, okay? They went to a body of water. The candidates would enter the water, and each of them would be asked three questions. Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? And after the affirmative answer to each of these, the candidates would be immersed in the dark waters. This was a highly symbolic action. It represented dying to the old life, being buried, and then rising to the new life in Jesus Christ. After their baptism, they were given white garments to put on, representing the purity of Christ. They then followed the officiant of the baptisms, followed this officiant to the gathering of the Christian community that was having the great vigil of Easter. The officiant would knock on the door, and the doors would be open, and the rays of the rising sun would shine in, and then would enter the newly baptized, dressed in white, to the welcoming voices of the congregation who said, Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. And these people would be the newest members of the body of Christ, dressed for action. I'm sure some of you are Rays fans. When the Rays run out on the field, each one of the uniforms they are wearing has been tailored to accommodate anything a baseball player might be involved in. Medical teams are dressed for action. The garments they are wearing are germ-free, and they have been tailored also to accommodate all the things any member of that team may need to do for the welfare of the patient. Actors are dressed for action. Not only must their costumes kind of put the actor in a certain time and a certain place, they also must be constructed for quick change. Therefore, their costumes have a lot of Velcro. When you are doing yard work, housework, washing the car, don't you dress for action? I do. My wife says, because I have old clothes I use for that, my wife says I look like a tramp. But it doesn't matter what I get on them or what happens to them. That's okay. In our day and time, our apparel says something about us. And often it identifies the kind of work we do or the kind of activities that we participate in. Jesus' admonition, be dressed for action, is about being identified as a follower of Jesus Christ. This identity is not so much about the clothes we wear, it's about claiming the ministry to which we have been called. And the interesting thing about this ministry is that it turns things topsy-turvy. It upsets the norms and the practices of this world. We have to be dressed for this. Look at how Luke, the gospel writer, in his account of the good news of Jesus Christ, describes almost from the beginning to the end of his gospel the impact on this world. And it is a radical, radical impact. Near the very beginning of his gospel are these words: "The Lord has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away." Listen to some more of Luke. We've heard some of this already this year. "Who is summoned to the stable to see the newborn Jesus? Was it the emperor? No. Was it the mayor of Bethlehem? No. Was it the president of the Bank of Bethlehem? No. It was lowly shepherds. Lowly shepherds in their filthy garments with their grimy fingernails and toenails who are summoned by the angels to come and see what the Lord has done." Topsy-turvy. In the story told by Jesus, who is it that attends to a man accosted by robbers and left on the side of the road to die? Was it a priest? Nope. Was it a senior warden? Nope. Was it a doctor? No. It was a despised Samaritan. Turning things topsy-turvy. Or again, would any shepherd leave a flock of 99 sheep as prey to whatever might be there looking around and go after and try to find one lost sheep? It wouldn't make sense to do that. But the shepherd in Jesus' story did. Turning things topsy-turvy. Or again, what does a father do when a son who demanded his inheritance took it, squandered every penny of it, and then comes crawling back on his hands and knees, looking like death warmed over? What does the father do? He throws a lavish party for him and welcomes him home. This good news of God in Christ is full of twists and surprises. And you know, as we live this, it can throw us off balance. As we are hearing Sunday after Sunday from Luke's gospel, we see Jesus in action both in deed and in word, challenging the status quo, offering to a weary world a new vision, a vision of God's blessings. This is why we must be dressed for action. It's God's action, known and experienced in Christ. And we have been called to represent, to represent Christ to this world. I know it sounds somewhat scary, and it has a lot of unpredictable twists and turns in it, but Jesus assures his little flock, do not be afraid. It's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Indeed, it is breaking into human history right now. And you and I, the church throughout the world, we are all called to be heralds of the gospel. There will be challenges, yes. There will be threats, you bet. There will be danger, and you may be humiliated and spit upon. Our master and our leader experienced all of that and more. For you see, this is inevitable. For there are people in this world who see the unconditional love of God as a threat. God's love in Christ levels the playing field. And there are those in this world who want to impose their will and their ways on others to elevate themselves and to trample over the hapless on their way. We must be clothed for action because we will be in arenas like this. The Lord calls us, we heard this in Isaiah this morning, the Lord calls us to stand up for justice and peace. And you know, you would think these are things the whole world would want. But look around. On this planet today, there are untold numbers of people who do not know peace, who do not know justice. And I cannot help but think that it grieves God, grieves him to the core, to see the beloved creation marred in such a way. What can God expect from his church? What can he expect from the followers of Jesus Christ in a world that is so askew? Are we clothed for action? Near the beginning of Luke's gospel, again, he quotes the mother of Jesus who says, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Is that not our song too? Is this not the song of the church? It's the unfathomable love of God It's due to God's incredible blessings on us that lead us, inspire us to be dressed for action so that others may know the blessings of His love and the beauty of His kingdom. In the Book of Common Prayer, in daily morning prayer, we, the Christian community, can pray this prayer every day, and it's one of my favorite ones in the prayer book. Lord Jesus Christ, You stretched out Your arms of love on the hard wood of the cross, that everyone might come within reach of Your saving embrace. Now listen to this. So clothe us. Hear that? So clothe us in Your Spirit that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know You to the knowledge and love of You. Amen.